Good morning.
Good morning.
I was talking to the boss. That's why I was tardy welcoming you. Good to see you. This is Ephesus Baptist. It's God's house. He has provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I just ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. This morning, we're going to talk about a spiritual condition that affects many of us here in this congregation, and many of so-called Christians, and many Christians. And we're going to look at a section of text out of Mark in which Jesus is talking to the disciples, and we see this condition as it manifests itself in the disciples' attitude. And that's Mark chapter 8. Verses 1 through 21, and I invite you to follow along as we read Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 21. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present. And having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for 1 loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. People desire proof before they commit. Before purchasing a new vehicle, we test drive it. Before purchasing clothes, we try them on to see if they fit. How many of us have sampled the snacks at Sam's Club or Costco? We are a generation that like to try before we buy. And in our text this morning, Jesus gives us an example or sample, so to speak, of who he is by feeding 4,000 with limited resources. This is not an isolated example of what Jesus can do. Just in the Gospel of Mark, we are told he drove out demons, healed numerous people, calmed a great storm in an instant, walked on water, and raised a little girl from the dead. Yet no one seems to really get it. They have no idea who Jesus really is. Where is their faith? Where is their understanding? You will remember at the beginning of our passage, we see a similar situation to others that are recorded in the Gospels. There's a crowd with Jesus. He is teaching them. He has been teaching them for 3 days. And the people have had nothing to eat. Remember, this is not the same event as the feeding of the 5,000. But the disciples obviously had forgotten. A short time ago, they had been with Jesus when the 5,000 were fed. Had the disciples not remember? If Jesus had never done anything miraculous before, we could understand. But he has been performing miracles basically since he called the 12 to follow him. But we are exactly like the disciples. There are people in life whose God has miraculously intervene, and yet when the next difficult situation arises, the past mighty acts of God in their life are forgotten. Their current situation is apparently so overwhelming that they forget how God had come through in the past. They suffer from faith amnesia, a condition which afflicts most of us, and some of us more than others. They fail to remember to have faith in God. And the disciples are experiencing this condition at this time also. Jesus asked about the resources to feed the people. There were 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. Now, Jesus' inquiry as to the resources was to make a point to the disciples that you, the disciples, cannot feed this many people with these limited resources. But Jesus gave thanks, broke the bread, gave thanks, told the disciples to distribute the fish. The people ate and were satisfied. Oh, now do the disciples understand about faith in Jesus? No. They are living in the moment. At the next sign of trouble, this miracle will probably be forgotten also. Jesus is making a powerful point here that has an impact on our lives as well as the disciples. Some of us have heard bad news concerning our health. Some of us watch as a relationship dissolves right before our eyes. Some of us are avoiding making a decision for fear of making the wrong one. Others fear that a habit they have broken will come back to haunt them, and when it does, they won't have the strength to resist it. In all these situations, we do not feel adequate enough to deal with them. We have trouble because deep down inside, we know we are powerless to stop what is happening. Yet Jesus breaks the bread and the people were fed. Do you understand the point that Jesus is making here? It's simple and direct. The point is we must have faith in Jesus. When anyone tells you of their difficulties, the first question you should ask them is, have you prayed about the situation? And let me tell you that often the answer will be, well, I haven't prayed at all. Maybe I need to pray. Well, no kidding. Maybe you do need to pray. This is, again, faith amnesia. When we have a problem, we forget to have faith in God to resolve it. After the people are fed, Jesus boards a boat and sails to Dalmanutha, and the Pharisees are there. And they come to him and begin questioning him in order to test him. And they ask Jesus for a sign from heaven to prove that he is the Son of God. And he refuses to provide it. Well, why did Jesus refuse to grant this request? Well, like the multiplying of the fishes and the bread, this encounter with the Pharisees is about faith. These men have been present at many of the healings and other miracles Jesus has performed. So why do they need or want another sign? The request for a sign is not a request for a miracle. As I said, the Pharisees have seen Jesus perform miracles before. They don't deny the power of Jesus, but they do not believe that Jesus' power is from God. They claim it is from Satan. They have no faith in the statement that Jesus is the Son of God. The Pharisees know Jesus has the power, yet they ask him for a sign from heaven, a sign from God, which will show them that they can trust in Jesus. Their request is a demand for God to demonstrate the legitimacy of Jesus' actions here on earth. They have seen his actions, but they are not enough to convince them. And the Pharisees are using a section of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 21 through 22, to test Jesus. And in this section, Moses tells the Israelites, you may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. Jesus knows the Pharisees are claiming that he's a false prophet, that he receives his power from Satan. And if he gives them a sign from heaven, this will show that he is a true prophet. But yet Jesus says, no sign will be given. Why? What a perfect opportunity for Jesus to make the Pharisees believe, to back them in a corner, to make them look foolish in front of the other people. But by confronting Jesus in this way, the Pharisees are in essence asking Jesus to remove the necessity of faith from the gift of salvation. Think about it. They don't want salvation through faith. They want it through signs. And Jesus refuses the request for a sign because it is not an issue of faith with the Pharisees, but their request is a manifestation of their disbelief in Jesus as God's Son. Their disbelief in who Jesus is. We believe Jesus is the Son of God because he is the Son of God and not what he can do. Jesus doesn't desire for us to believe in him because of signs or actions or miracles that he performs. He wants us to believe in him because he is the Son of God. And asking God for a sign so we can believe in Jesus is an attempt to make a deal with God. And friends, let me tell you, God does not make deals. We cannot create a paradigm for Jesus to fulfill and say, okay, Jesus, if you meet the parameters I've set, I shall believe in you. If you heal my daughter, I'll know that you are real. If you repair my relationship, I'll know that I can give my life to you. If you provide good results for me on this test from the doctor, I'll open my heart to you. Jesus will tell us, no sign will be given. We mistakenly think establishing parameters for God to fulfill is faith, and it's merely a fog to mask our disbelief. We're just throwing up smoke screens because we don't believe in God, and we're trying to make a deal with him to convince us of who he is and who his son is. Now back to the text, Jesus and the disciples sail back to the other side of the body of water, and Jesus warns them to watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Well, the disciples think Jesus is referring to the fact that they only had one loaf of bread for food. Faith amnesia affects them again. Just a few minutes before, the disciples were gathering baskets of leftover food from feeding 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and a few small fishes. Do they believe Jesus could feed the 12 of them with one loaf of bread? Literally a few minutes earlier, they had seen a miracle. But obviously, continued exposure to Jesus does not make it conducive for them to be faithful, to have faith in him. They keep developing faith amnesia. Jesus spoke of the yeast in the sense of corruption. The corruption of the lives of the Pharisees has worked its way through their life, through their whole person, to the point that they have no judgment to exercise regarding matters of faith. Just as this point, Jesus says to the disciples, remember. And at this point, he's talking to us also, remember what happened in the past. Remember how I have taken care of you. Jesus reviews the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, which had just been completed. The disciples have all the facts regarding what Jesus has done, yet they cannot correctly interpret them. Faith is not about signs happening or not happening. It's not about a plan coming together. It's not about a happy moment or a secure moment. Faith is about trusting in a person. It is not a coincidence when we talk about a faithful husband or a faithful wife. Faithfulness is the content of a relationship. If there is no relationship, there is no faith. The Pharisees had no relationship with Jesus. Therefore, they had no faith in him. And this morning, if you're struggling with the fact of believing in Jesus this morning, perhaps the reason is that you have no relationship with him. Richard Dawkins, a famous Oxford zoologist, made the following statement: faith is the great cop-out the great excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate evidence. Faith is belief in spite of, even perhaps because of, a lack of evidence. Richard Dawkins is not talking about faith, believe me. He might be speaking of stubborn ignorance. He might be speaking of those who refuse to let go of their superstitions. But Richard Dawkins is not speaking of faith. Faith is about a relationship. And the Christian faith is about a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. In addition, our Christian faith is built upon solid evidence and fact and not upon illogical hope to which Dawkins alludes. Our evidence is very real. Now, Dawkins or anyone else is free to create their paradigm or definition of faith and then to mock those who do not agree with him. However, the faith to which he alludes is not faith the Bible teaches us we must have. Our faith is very different. Let's look quickly at two examples of biblical faith, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. First, from the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 1, we read, chapter 11, verse 1, we read, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Well, we are sure of being with Jesus at the end time. We are certain the Holy Spirit is with us even though we cannot see him. And we believe this based upon the reliable information we receive in the revelation of God through his holy word, of which not one fact to this very second has been proved wrong. So we have reliable evidence upon which to base our belief. Now, looking at the Old Testament, this is probably one of the best examples of faith from Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this manner. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he shall rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." These three young men were about trusting in God, about having faith in God. It was not about actions or signs or emotions. It was not about something occurring or not occurring. It was not about a plan coming together. It was not about a happy moment or a secure moment. It was simply and purely about a relationship with God that instilled in them the faith that they demonstrated when they were thrown into a blazing furnace. Without a relationship in Jesus, there is no faith in him. So the question is this morning, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Have you walked into his open arms and accepted the fact that he is the Son of God, that he is our Lord and Savior, and that by belief in him, we can spend eternity with God in heaven? If you have not made that leap of faith, hopefully the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you will do that this morning. But even if you don't, I want you to go home and think about whether you have a relationship with Jesus so that you can develop and experience faith in him so that you can spend eternity with him. We invite you to come forward as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 295.